You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hordano Diablo.
And this week we are joined by comedian and podcaster Bill Stone.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Thanks for coming in, Bill.
Oh, no problem.
So, Bill, why do you hate customer service?
Oh, where do I begin? I work in customer service.
What division of customer service do you work in?
My level of customer service is I don't deal with what you would call the public customer.
Right.
I deal with what a company calls basically your inner customer, you know, like...
So like business to business?
Yeah, or, you know, so even our own employees are considered customers, which I always...
It's weird that you don't call them clients.
Yeah, you know, because my job is, and I don't want to get too specific because I don't like getting in the realm of my work, but for what I do, I tell another group of our company, you know, where they go and what they do to rectify a situation. And in dealing with them, they are technically my customers.
Oh, geez.
But then they are also servicing our customers. So it's like layers upon layers of insanity.
That's definitely insanity.
Yeah, it seems like they could cut out that middleman and just have you do it. I worked in customer service I don't work anymore, so I don't give a shit, called Inogen, who sold portable oxygen concentrators.
I'm familiar with Inogen.
When I left that company, now this is oxygen equipment. This is shit people need to live.
Mm-hmm.
They were 8 days behind on shipping. And I am already prone to anxiety and depression and freaking the fuck out. When you have 90 people calling you a day, bitching at you that they don't have their oxygen equipment, like, I don't know what... call 911, motherfucker. Like, I don't know what to fucking tell you.
It's a mess. So we have our credentials established.
Yeah. I've dealt in many layers of, I would say, the customer service industry. Everything from fast food to retail to I was even an EMT for several years.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like to think that is a kind of a very extreme level of customer service.
In a sense.
I mean, I've had people die on me. You know, I've saved a few lives.
Were you a paramedic or an EMTB?
I was the MTB.
Okay.
But I worked for a private company and was very involved.
Yeah.
You know, it was, cause we even,
we probably worked for the same company, but let's not put it out there.
Yeah. I wonder so. Yeah, that's, but with that being said, it was like, I never thought anything would really get to me. Work-wise, I always thought that was a good selling point for other jobs. It's like, yeah, I'm good under pressure. You know, yeah. You know, once you've dealt with people dying, at that point, everything is like, oh, your cheese isn't, you know, on the sandwich. I can take care of that. You know,
the coolest thing I ever had happen in customer service though was like when I worked for Inogen, Diane Ladd. The Oscar winner, Diane Ladd, the mother of Laura Dern, mm-hmm. former wife of Bruce Dern, called in and I got her call. And she was freaking the fuck out. And then I realized who she was, so I turned on the fucking charm and made sure her shit got shipped out real fast. She actually ended up sending me 2 copies of her book, personalized fucking shit. Laura Dern fucking sent me, you know, 8x10 signed, and it's like, I'm a huge David Lynch fan, so it's like, oh, this was very cool. Aside from that, I wanted to jump off. It was only a 2-story building, and so I probably only would have broke something, but I wanted to jump off.
Yeah, it's rough trying to, because it seems like customer service's job is less about servicing the customer and more about deflecting complaints.
Yeah.
And deflecting suicide.
Well, recently I had my first official like panic attack. It happened while happened while I was at work, and when they took me to the ER, the doctor was like, "Well, have you been stressed lately?" And yeah, it's kind of how I just wanted to start it
day by day.
Yeah, but I'm like, when am I not? But I kind of ran down what's been on me, you know. And the doctor looked at me and was like, "Yeah, I would say so." And they gave me some stuff, you know. But
aren't benzos great?
I'm just on something low. It's hydroxine, I think is what it's called.
Well, I don't even know that one. That must be.
It's just something like it's a chill pill, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But very, it's non-addictive, low. It's like I have 4 I could take a day.
It's propanolol is probably what it is.
It's something that I know when I researched it, they give to like surgery patients before surgery.
They
kind of get them relaxed before
There's like 3 different types of it. It's Enderol, it's propanolol. It's made for like what you just said, for people going into surgery. Also people who do public speaking who have issues.
Mm-hmm.
It slows down your heart rate. It regulates your heart rate so that you don't fucking hyperventilate.
This is a different thing. I just looked it up. It's actually an antihistamine.
Yeah, it is. That's the other thing. It's an antihistamine, but they found that one of the things it could do is, you know, chill you out. Kind of it's supposed to make you almost sleepy.
Yeah, like Benadryl. Like,
yeah. So, you know, I'm only on it temporarily, but I'm going to have to go get checked out for more stuff, but
yeah.
It's a friend of mine said, "Hey, yeah, once apparently that door's open, it doesn't close." And I'm like, "Shit."
I've been in therapy, psychiatry, both on, I've been seeing a psychiatrist for, I talk about this shit on the podcast all the time, so I don't care, but I've been seeing a psychiatrist for 2 months now. I was in therapy for about 2 years. My psychiatrist does not like how long I've been on benzos. But they have tried so many different things for me. Like I tried like the therapy shit where it's like, okay, you take the things that you don't like and you put them in a box. And then, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't work. For me, that shit doesn't fucking work. I need something like when I feel like I'm having a heart attack, I need fucking Valium so that I don't feel like I'm going to die.
Right. Because when I had mine, my blood pressure was like, I think like 213 over 140.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Yeah.
How did you not have a heart attack?
I just really, it's funny, it's a panic attack, but I was really calm about it. You know?
Teach me the ways of calm panic attacks.
Well, it was at work when it was happening, and I'm like, okay, I know something's going on here. So, and I'm on
I'm sweating profusely. I feel like my heart's about to jump through my chest. Let me take this next call.
I was on my break when it happened, and we have our own emergency response team at work, and I'm actually on that team, and I'm like... Well,
even better.
The funny thing is within the last, I'd say, 6 months, I think the last 4 calls we've gotten for in our own work were for members of our own team. And I made the comment last time, I'm like, can we not have the next one be one of us? And it was me. And so I get
it's going to be like 1984, you're going to walk into work, they're just going to give you a shot like every day.
So I get down to security and I'm like, okay, here's what's going on. So they took my blood pressure and he's like, yeah, he goes, you're like at around 213 over 140. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead and call the ambulance. But by the time they got there, it had already started to go down. By the time I got to ER, it was, you know, back to normal levels, you know, still high, but normal. And then it, then it got down and the doctor just
released me. Are you a smoker?
No.
Okay.
I did actually just recently give up tobacco.
Yeah.
And I did actually,
raises your blood pressure.
Several days before, you know, that happened. So I also was kind of acuting that to, you know, I have all this shit going on. Plus I'm probably coming off, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I always want to laugh when I'm talking about the fact that I've given that up, because it always brings me back to that movie, Half-Baked, when Chappelle's in, like, the AA meeting for, you know, for addiction.
I used to suck dick for coke.
Yeah. I'm like, I gave up tobacco. It's like, fuck you and your pissy little addiction, you know, but... You know,
it's hard, man.
It is. And I promised myself before I left the age of 40, you know, when I said, by the time I hit 40, I want to be done with it, you know, and I'm not going to carry into 41 and still have this to deal with. And then, you know, 6 months ago, about 5 months ago, my father died. And then a couple months after that, my grandfather just died. And then somebody else I knew just died. And I'm like,
I'm next.
Yeah. So, that's part of where all my stress has been coming from, you know, just thinking about your mortality and all that
shit. My brother-in-law, who was one of my best friends, knew my entire life. Mm-hmm. He was a year older than me. I'm about to turn 32 in January. He married my little sister. They were married for 10 months. He had a widowmaker, died at 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I, ever since, have been convinced that I'm going to have a heart attack and I'm going to die. It's just panic attacks. Well, I mean, I hope, you know, but like that, when shit like that happens in your life, you start really thinking about yourself and like, how can I take care of myself? You know, how can I? And at that time, I was working a customer service job at Inogen, and I'm listening to these people who are 70, 80 years mm-hmm. old who... Are I have to tell them their shit is 8 days behind. They're like, well, how am I supposed to breathe? And I'm like, I'm just the person you called, man. It's like,
okay, your vacuum has the setting where if you reverse it this just way, it suck. Just blows. Just, you know. But, and that's just the thing is when I was, when I used to work for Barberton Hospital as an aide, and I worked at the cardiac floor, and
basically the Parma of Akron.
Yeah, I went to, you know, so I jumped from EMT to working in a hospital, and one of my close friends, his wife died at the age of 30. They found her collapsed next to the bathroom. His like daughter found her collapsed in the bathroom. She
heart failure,
something like that. Okay. And like that didn't really faze me at the time. But then, you know, this year my dad at 62 works at City Hospital, has a massive heart attack at the hospital.
Oh shit!
The place where they should be able to save you.
Well, that's the thing. They worked on it for 45 minutes.
Oh wow!
They revived him 3 times, and he survived.
Hell yeah!
Oh wow!
It wasn't until it was 10 days later. He was getting ready to move into full recovery. He was like 3 days off the ventilator, and he was doing really good, and he was going to be in a full recovery room and, you know, ready to come back home soon.
Yeah.
And a clot moved from his leg to his heart. And his heart was so weak because of that massive heart attack.
Well,
you know, there was nothing they could do. And even the doctors said that, like, we knew it was there, and it's like the one drug we could have gave him would have almost, it was over a 90% chance that it would have paralyzed him.
Yeah,
but it's like, since he was stable, we're like, we're not going to give him that drug.
Yeah,
but then it's like, it's and I told my wife, I'm like, if that happens to me, just fucking cut the leg off.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Have
him put a tourniquet on it. Say we know it's there. Take the leg. Well, I don't care.
That's like me and my fiance, future wife, you know, whatever. Like, I'm one of those people. I have a very weird outlook on life. Like, people have always told me my biggest fear is death, which I guess in a sense it is. But, like, at a certain point, I know I'm going to get to in my life. I don't know what age it's going to be. I'm hoping past, like, 65 at least. But I'm going to get to a point in my life where I just feel like where it's like, you know, I'm wearing this fucking arm brace. Like, I'm already starting to feel shit where it's like, ah, this hurts, that hurts. Nothing to be worried about, but, like, I know it's only going to get worse. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I know it's only going to get worse. And, like, me and her have this thing where it's like, I've never done heroin before, But like when I choose, like when I'm like, you know what? I've seen it all. I've done it all. I'm going to fucking shoot some fucking black tar, man. And that's the way I'm going to fucking go out. Because I want to go out on my own terms. I don't want some ailment to take me out. You know what I mean? Like if right. I'm diagnosed with fucking lung cancer or something, that they're like, yeah, you got 4 months to live. I'm like, well, that's going to be 4 months of a lot of fun for me.
It's like, do you know how much 4 months worth of magic mushrooms are? Because...
Yes. Like he's half baked. Hey, scientist, yeah. How much black tar heroin can I get?
But to come back around to the customer service aspect of it and the bitching part.
That is customer service.
My actual frustration with it. It relies more in the realm of my day to day fast food. Anything. It's the fact that it feels like nowadays. That no matter where you go, people are gonna fuck shit up, and they're gonna make mistakes. But no more does anybody feel like bad for it or in any way like accountable. They just kind of look at you when you point it out, like, what the fuck do you want me to do about it?
Without going into, because I'm sure you don't want to like go into too much, but like, without going into it too much, what do you do day by day?
What do I do day by day? I sit at a desk for 8 hours.
No shit, Sherlock. I mean, what is it that, like, you work in customer service. So, like, what are the problems you're handling day by day? Not going into specifics because I don't want to get you in trouble.
I work for a company where we have things that our company has manufactured and built that we have technicians that go out and fix.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And I have to tell the technicians where to go and go fix that, you know, fix those things. And in my realm, it's just accountability. You know, it's to me, I really can't comprehend why nobody feels there's a need for any type of accountability anymore when it's so easy to do small things.
Yeah.
To make it better for everybody else. Like in my work, if I have a customer who escalates and they're like, hey, this technician was supposed to be here weeks ago and I haven't heard hide nor hair of them. All that tech would have had to do was within a few days, even a day, getting the call, get on the phone and call the customer and be like, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this for X amount of time. This is what we need to do.
Okay.
And then they never escalate because they'd have their information.
And you're the guy that
has to deal with then that part of the customer.
Okay.
But it's just so many different aspects that I see in customer service on my end and on other ends that there are things, because technically that my technicians are also customer service.
Sure.
They're servicing the customer and the repairs, but nobody ever puts in that time to just do those extra little steps.
Yeah.
That would make life easier for everybody involved.
100%.
Like when I walk into a McDonald's, And
the shake machine is broken.
No, that happened last night. But I walk in the other day, and it's like I pull into the drive-in, and the drive-in is packed.
Yeah.
And one dude's actually backing out, and I'm like, I see where this is going. So I pull off, and I park, and I run inside. And they're doing the orders, and I told the lady, I go, listen, I just need a number 10. That's two snack wrap meal. I need them both grilled. And I need a Coke with it, and that's it. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. She goes, okay, how many snack wraps did you want? And I'm like, no, I said I want
Bitch, it's the number 10!
Yeah, I want the number 10. I want them both grilled. And I want a Coke with it, and that's it. She's like, okay, well, what size did you want that? And I'm like, I wanted the standard size, the medium size. I didn't ask for any bigger size. Two snack wraps grilled with a Coke, medium size. Okay. And she gets it done. And people are talking and screwing around. And the manager's standing there. And I watch her bag my food. And I watch her put two different types of snack wraps into the bag. And before she handed me the bag, I said, excuse me, ma'am. I go, what type of snack wraps did you just put in that bag? And she goes, one grilled and one crispy. And I'm like, well, I ordered the meal both grilled. And the lady behind the counter who rang him up says, well, there's only two buttons and two options, and I just don't understand how it works.
Jesus.
Are you
No. And then the manager said to me,
is this part of your job or are you just going to McDonald's for lunch?
Yeah, this is daily life.
Okay. All right. Because I'm like, I was like, I want that job where I'm like, I have to teach people how to push fucking buttons.
Well, then the manager turns to me and as simple and plain as day, she says, well, do you want me to fix this?
Oh, I just, because I literally, the temperature of my body just raised.
Right. And that's just the thing. I think I let like shit like this get to me way too much, but it's like in my mind, it's like,
friends.
I just paid money for this. God damn it. Of course I want what I fucking ordered. And I look at my son and I'm like, do you want them to fix it? Cause we're trying to get somewhere. And my son goes, dad, because he could see the vein, you know, he goes, I'm cool. I'm like, are you sure? He goes, I'm cool. I'm like, okay, then let's go. But yeah, and my wife hates it because I will lose my shit over like this stuff like this. And it's, to me, it's not because they messed up.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the incompetence.
Well, not even that. It's the fact that they treat you like, even though you've paid for the meal and you paid for the service, that making it right is out of their way. Making it right is just going over the top.
All right, that's ridiculous.
It's just like them saying, looking at you and say, well, fucking deal with it.
Well, I I'm shaking right now. Like, so just let me do my thing for a second. All right. So like, I understand. I had this conversation with my fiance mere weeks ago. She is very good about checking the bag before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person where I'm just like, I'll take it, whatever. If they fuck it up, cool. If I order a Coke and you give me a Diet Coke, you best be sure I'm walking back in there. And if I don't hurl that Diet Coke at you, you're fucking lucky. So, that being said, I know these people get paid a minimal amount of money. I get that. And that sucks. I don't think they should be paid $14 an hour, but that's just a political whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But however, if I order a specific thing, your menu is not that fucking big. You're making the same 12 fucking things all goddamn day long. The biggest difference is the drinks. I'm talking drive-thru wise. Right. If you can't get an order fucking right, then you should be fucking talking to the people who, and I'm not supposed to say retard, I know, but like, you should be talking, like, you should have government assistance. Because if you can't put together a fucking Big Mac the correct way, then you shouldn't be working in the fucking first place. And I understand. Yeah, I'm making $8.50 an hour. What the fuck do I give a shit? I get that. If I were in that position, I wouldn't take pride in that position either. However, you are getting paid to do it. It's not that hard of a job. Just do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong?
No. And that's what gets me is because, like, okay, today, unfortunately, I was late getting here to you guys, but that's because I had to do a little extra to get what needed to be done at my work done. Now, I honestly could have looked at the night person who was already on shift and said, peace, this is your problem. I'm out of here. You know, but they just hired this guy. He's 3 weeks in. I trained him. I'm not going to do that to him. You know,
fair enough.
It's just to me, it's taking responsibility and sometimes doing the little extra that makes sure everything, or if you do get it wrong, having the,
it'll make your job easier in the long run. And if he knows what he's doing now,
right. It's having humility, you know, because when I go somewhere and somebody messes something up, I can deal with the fact that it's messed up. I can't deal with the indignance of somebody just not caring that they messed it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I give two shits that, you know, you got shit on. But, you know, that's the way I'm going to be about it. And I get way too worked up over it. I do. Now, I'm also a very picky person. I'll let you have a small deep dive into my psychosis. I will go to Chili's on a regular basis, and they have this 3 for $10 deal.
That's your first problem, you piece of trash. Have a little goddamn self-respect for yourself. Do you also go to Applebee's?
No. Just Chili's.
I draw the line at Chili's.
Well,
here's the reason why.
He picked the correct one.
Agreed.
Chili's has a 3 for $10. Okay. And if nobody knows what the 3 for $10 is,
I don't.
It's a soft drink, which nowadays at any restaurant you're automatically paying like $3-4 just for a soft drink.
Which is, did you know that's the biggest? That's how they make all their money.
Oh yeah. So the 3 for $10 is a soft drink. A side, like
mashed potatoes or something.
No, sorry, not a side. What they call an appetizer, and the choice of appetizer is either chips and salsa, a thing of soup, or a side salad.
Okay,
and then a main entree.
Okay,
all for $10.
Yeah, which is reasonable.
And the choice of the main entrees are their bacon burger, chicken quesadilla, chicken crispers. And the last one is their chicken margarita. And
you don't get all those for $10? Fuck out of this studio.
Every now and then, they have their 6-ounce sirloin on there. It's a 6-ounce sirloin with two sides.
I want to jump over this table and fight you. 6-ounce sirloin.
Yeah, my wife loves that. But it's like I said.
She work at Walmart?
No.
Six ounce sirloin's fine for $10.
Yeah. I mean, when you say you're getting a 6-ounce sirloin with two sides plus a starter and a drink for $10.
That's a snack. Anywhere else, that's a snack.
Well, and here's the great part. At Chili's, if you have the app.
That's the great part at Chili's.
When you go in and
there's a Chili's app?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
You get free chips and salsa with your app every time you go
there. You should get free chips and salsa the moment you walk in that fucker.
It's kind of their way of justifying that now. You know, but so I'm going to get a drink. My chips and salsa that are bottomless. I'm going to get out. So here's how I start my order. And I go to the Medina one so much now that the waitresses know me and will actually start preparing shit for my order while I'm sitting down with my family.
Yeah.
I have a
So you got clout at Chili's?
Yeah, I got clout at the Medina Chili's. It's because I'm a psycho, apparently. Here's the deal. I like soup boiling. I like soup when you eat it to be painful to the touch.
Okay.
So
why are you eating soup at Chili's? You're saying these things and I'm raising other questions.
They have a soup there. It's their Southwest chicken soup. It's
one with the fucking tortilla chips on it.
I have them put the tortillas on the side so they don't get mushy when I have them nuke the fuck out of that soup.
It's going in a microwave.
They have to bring it out to where it looks like I ordered fajitas. That's the amount of steam that needs to be coming off the soup when they bring it to me. But I've got them.
I want
to
eat radiation.
Yeah. I've got them conditioned to this point, though, where I walk in. But while I'm sitting at the table, here comes my hot soup because they know I'm going to get the 3 for $10. And then I always get the Just Bacon Burger.
Yeah.
And this is how I have them make it. Okay. Just Bacon Burger, cooked medium well, extra pickles. Lettuce on the side, no onion or tomato, two sides of ancho ranch, and then make sure you leave the garlic aioli on the burger.
Where are you from?
Akron.
Okay.
He said medium
well. For a burger.
Yeah.
Medium is the perfect burger cook.
I mean,
but here's the problem when you give places like Chili's and low.
Oh no! I ordered a steak medium rare from Chili's once. It was well done.
That's a problem. It's like I found that if I tell them medium for a burger, I'll get raw hamburger in my burger. But if I tell them medium well, I'll get that medium that I want. But it's different with a steak. If I go there and ask for a steak, I ask for it medium rare. And I get that perfect pinkness as to where I used to ask for medium, and they would overcook.
Because they cook a goddamn steak on a flat top, which is an abomination,
right,
in the first place.
But that's what I'm saying. You have to know the people who are back there. Because, like I said, usually you'd order a burger medium. Some places, because hamburgers can be undercooked more often than they're actually overcooked.
Agreed.
So that's why you give them that hint of, well, because they wait a little bit longer.
Let's go back to the boiling soup.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Just the other day, I got a waitress that I didn't usually get.
He looks like he's from Medina, doesn't he?
And she brought the soup to me, and as soon as it went in front of me, I took the spoon, dipped it in, stuck it to my tongue, and I said, take it back. And
you're the guy who sends shit back at Chili's?
I know. I just told her. I go, it needs to be hotter.
Paul, am I spiking too much?
No, I just told her it needs to be hotter. And she goes, okay, no problem. Because it's like, I know that that first spoon in my mouth has to burn. It has to burn. I have to feel pain.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has their... I don't understand the attraction there because I don't like pain with my soup.
But that's just the thing. That's the only food that I like to feel pain while I'm eating. You know why? It's years of getting served shitty lukewarm soup to where they bring it out and they do that bullshit where they bring all your food out at the same time.
Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you. Go to a respectable restaurant, you piece of shit. Fucking Chili's? Are you kidding me?
So... I'm giving them the opportunity to put the soup at such a high level that no matter what...
I'll cook you fucking soup, and I'll boil it until it burns you and your goddamn wife and kids. Are you fucking with me right now?
I just like boiling soup.
I'll boil soup for you. Pay me $5. Have more respect than going to Chili's.
Hey, man, sometimes people like Chili's.
No, no, no.
treat Chili's like a McDonald's, okay?
Fair. All right, that's a redeeming statement.
Like, if you were to say, hey.
You're just paying more for trash.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, no. Do you know how much that snack wrap meal that my son gets all the time?
Probably $9 at this point.
It used to be $5.
And now this is coming from somebody who ate a dinner box last night.
So now that fucking meal at McDonald's is almost $10. And I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. I could go buy shitty McDonald's for $10. Or I could buy less shittier Chili's for $10 and at least sit in a warm building.
Were you buying for one or two?
Huh? For me, just, well, no, usually, the other day it was me and my family who went, and, you know, so the bill was, you know, 50 and then tip on top of that.
At Chili's!
Yeah. Well, $10 per person, with five of us in the family.
Ten.
It's just, dude, it gets...
So everybody gets a three-course meal.
Here's my problem, when you go to a fucking McDonald's and pay, like, you're eating at Chili's.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go to fucking Chili's.
I don't blame you. That's like,
go to Red Robin.
We
at
do.
At least Red Robin has like a respectable reputation.
Red Robin, well.
Go to DeBella's. That's the best sandwich place on the planet.
DeBella's has shitty bread. Go fuck yourself.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
I do like Red Robin's Tavern Burgers with their endless fries.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like endless fries with those seasonings on it? It's
you
delicious.
The campfire sauce? The dip fries?
No.
Oh, the campfire
okay,
sauce.
Okay, we'll talk. All right. Fuck you. The everything bread at DeBella's is amazing.
No, it's too crust. I have the like.
You are being Jewish right now.
All right.
And he's a Jew.
All right. Now, first of all, Jews generally.
I don't care how anti-Semitic that sounded.
All right. Well, you can't do that on the first night of Hanukkah, Jordan.
Is it really?
It's not sundown yet, so we'll give you a pass.
I did not say the K word yet.
Don't.
I will on the way home.
Kravitz?
Yes, Kravitz.
High five on that one.
Kravitz is the new K word. thank you, Bill.
You're being such a Kravitz.
Yeah. Oy, Gewalt. No, we generally like... I don't like crusty bread. Bella says crusty.
I like
bread.
Crusty bread.
I have.
He's not white. Leave
him. I don't like crusty bread.
What's
because
Shevitz?
Of my teeth.
What does that mean?
Shevitz. It's a suffix. It's like.
What's Manischewitz?
Manischewitz is a brand.
Isn't it? Manischewitz is also it's wine, isn't it?
Manischewitz makes the wine.
But they also make other stuff because when I worked in grocery,
is it crusty?
There's some crusty stuff, yes, but you know, challah is like the traditional Shabbat bread, and it's crusty
on the outside.
It's not; it's soft.
The only thing I could never stand looking at on the shelf when I was organizing that one section was the gefilte fish.
See, that's an acquired taste, I don't know if it's an acquired taste, because I don't know anybody that's like sat down and like, all right, I'm going to learn to like gefilte fish.
I just see that jar, and I honestly am escalated back to my grandmother's fridge, and the first time I saw that jar of pig knuckles in the fridge, and I'm like, nope.
Jews can't eat pig knuckles.
No, but the gefilte fish really, it's kept in jelly, just like pig knuckles are.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's
Why
good.
Why would you keep anything in jelly?
Because
it's a preservative.
Jelly is a preservative?
Yeah.
It's, well, the gelatin.
Salt was a preservative.
There is It just, you have to see a jar, an actual jar of pig knuckle indoor confit.
This is the most off topic we've ever gone, and I'm so okay with it. We started with
customer service.
You know what? Fuck customers. They're all cunts.
Yeah.
Let's keep going, please. This is so interesting.
You want to know about pig knuckles? I can't speak to pig knuckles as is never. I've re-eaten at places where they have like the jar of pig knuckles up there, but it's like a test. Of, like, if you're a tourist or if you're, like, actually here to eat. Like, the tourists will order the pig knuckles. Otherwise, they're just scare people away. So I've never actually tasted them. But gefilte fish, they keep it in the jelly because it preserves all the salty goodness in there in the jelly. You know, you weren't alive, like, when gelatin salads were a thing. But you
Excuse me?
Yeah, you put vegetables and stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
Why do people, wait, does this have anything to do with fucking Miracle Whip be called mayonnaise? Or no. Salad dressing?
Like salad and, I mean, like, okay, like suspension and, and gelatin with like vegetables and shit like that was around the time when also ambrosia was a big thing.
Yeah.
And just, I know what that is, and it's disgusting. Actually,
I had a really good ambrosia last night.
No, all those ingredients should not be mixed together, and it's disgusting.
Well, did you have it with coconut?
Coconut, pineapple, colored marshmallows, and there was some other stuff. You can't call them
colored marshmallows.
They're pastel marshmallows.
There you go. The Easter marshmallows.
But yeah, it was some good. And they also had the mandarin oranges in there, too.
Yeah, the mandarin oranges is key with the ambrosia. I just
what makes that salad? That's a fucking dessert.
It is. But just, is it called, I guess it's called a salad because it's a bunch of shit tossed together?
Yeah. I mean, like,
you know. I think salad, I think greens.
Yeah, and but you're thinking of basic bitch salad, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not thinking Jew salad.
No, I mean, you know, Jews have all sorts of weird food.
You know, you guys got pastrami. You got everybody on that. Yeah. Who you guys got pastrami?
We cured meats is our deal.
Yeah. Well, you and the Italians.
This
sorry,
morning
Jeremy.
I was on Twitter and one of my favorite comics out of St. Louis, Kathleen Madigan, had posted a video of a cheese ball she made with dried meats, the armor, how they make the jar.
Potted meat.
Yeah, jar. Well, they have a jar of dried meat. It looks like basically dry salami, but she makes that with peppers. And cream cheese and made a cheese ball. And people were like, that's disgusting.
No,
and
that's
I'm like, when I was a kid, I would get those cans of armored...
potted meat.
Well, the corned beef.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other day I got one. My wife's that's disgusting.
Bro, hit me up. White trash, for sure.
My wife's like, that's disgusting. I'm like, no, it's not. So she come home, this is like last week, and I'm like, hey, would you like a Reuben? And she goes, oh, that sounds good. And I basically just took in the corned beef in the can and tossed it with some good kraut and put it on some rye bread.
And it was good,
and
wasn't it?
And she was like, it was the cheese. And my wife's like, oh, this is a grit. And I'm like,
That was potted meat, motherfucker.
And I had to open that fucker with a key on the side of the can.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
I used to eat it just out of the can when I was a kid.
Dude, that's the other thing. It's like... the Vienna sausages. People are like, oh, you're disgusting for eating that. Yeah, I know it's lips and assholes. Guess what? It tastes really good.
Have you gotten ever anything from the gas station ever? Any kind of Slim Jim?
I used to grocery shop at the gas station. Yeah, so it's I lived like, on Denison and 18th. I am poor.
Gas station meals were a big part of my
Your life still.
Well, after comedy shows, like, where else are you gonna eat, man?
Well, we did used to eat at the Hat Dog Joint, which I was gonna say we should go soon.
Okay,
Steve, is it Steve's now?
There's plenty of
what's the one we used to go to by my house, by my old house.
They serve Steve's, but they're called something else.
Okay,
there's another Steve's that's closer to where you
I are. Like this guy. He's trash like us. I like this guy. He's trash, and that's a compliment.
I like the simple things.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Like, I like the Armor sausages. I like the potted meat. you can do things with those. Like, dude, ramen, if you don't know how to make ramen better, you don't know how to cook, and you should probably hang yourself.
One of my last live web shows I did, and I don't belong to this show anymore, I had to kind of part ways from it because I'm doing my own thing, and my buddy's going to be doing what he does with it. But I had showed, me and my son had showed some other people on our show how to make ghetto chips. Which is just a bag, like your ramen, your block of ramen.
Okay.
You just take the thing and you crush it a bit, like squeeze it and you break it. Mm-hmm. And you open the bag, you get the seasoning packet mm-hmm. out, tear it open, dump it back in,
mm-hmm.
close it up, and then just pound the crap out
of
it.
Oh, prison food.
Yeah, and you just take the dry noodles with the seasoning and you eat it.
Yeah,
it all tastes melts. Like flavored chips.
Dude, the only thing that fucking happens is it the moisture in your mouth makes it taste like it's noodles. We didn't let it get noodles. To that point.
We'd crunch on it like potato chips, and it's delicious.
Yeah. No, fuck yeah.
And my friends had never heard of it. And I'm like, yeah. I had a buddy who hiked the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine.
And he's alive?
Yeah. Weirdest thing that happened is when he came back, one foot was a whole size bigger than the other for an entire year. Yeah, yeah. The doctors couldn't find out. They couldn't figure out what it was, whether it was like a blood, you know, thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was literally, you know, size 12, size 13 for a whole year.
Mm.
But yeah, he had. Well, he would send me back notes from the trail. And
he
he's
was
like,
Kane and the Undertaker.
He built all of these packages for himself. And his mother worked for the post office, and he mapped out all the postal routes along the trail. And basically she would ship to the post office where the next marker was, and he would go pick up the package, take it back out on the trail.
Sure.
And it was filled with his ramen and his shit like that. And that's all he would eat on the trail. Hmm. His dry ramen and, you know, other, you know, foods that didn't need to
bear's
be.
Bear's going
to
smell that shit. Come on.
And the most disgusting thing that he wrote me about, he probably picked an average of, he said, anywhere from 2 to 12 ticks out of himself a Ooh, night.
That would be too much for me.
A night. Yeah, I'm like, I've had one in my entire
I
life.
I wish we did a podcast right now because the look on my face. I don't do outdoor activities. Do I look like I do outdoor activities? No.
I mean, he does do sunbathing on his roof sometimes.
I love
me?
Camping.
I'm whiter than fucking the Ku Klux Klan. And I don't mean that in the racist term. I'm just saying I'm fucking white. Like, I don't want to spend time in the sun. I have to take vitamin D pills so I don't get depressed and kill myself. Jesus Christ.
I love the outdoors. I do.
Yeah, you look like you're from Medina. That makes sense. You probably like to hunt and stuff.
No,
give me some jerky and we'll be cool.
I grew up over in Coventry Township. Over in
Shocker.
Yeah. Coventry's nice.
All this isn't good fun, I hope you know.
I had to go to the IGA over there to get my pills. Sometimes.
They still make those? They yeah. still have IGAs?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we passed an IGA on the way here.
Yeah, I worked for IGA for years, and then they became Giant Eagle, at least the ones I worked for.
You remember Tops?
Oh, yeah. Remember Gold Circle?
Yes.
Or Sparkle Market?
Sparkle, yeah, Rainy Rigos.
Dude, my buddy sold so much vodka from the Sparkle Market in Manchester. It was ridiculous.
I get, you know, customer service is a bitch, ain't it?
Especially when you keep stealing shit.
So basically, what we're telling you people is customer service is it's a motherfucker.
It is a motherfucker.
Whether you're in it or dealing with it.
Yeah, I mean, customers are cunts. The people who deal with customers are cunts, and you can just deal with it.
And that is Bill, where can we find your new podcast?
Find it on Facebook. Okay, so it's gonna be
Walmart, Chili's, Applebee's. Little too low class for Red Robin.
Tonight is actually gonna be, I'm just gonna be doing like a little 15-minute blurb about it live on Facebook because it's going to be a live podcast. So every Sunday from 6
a live cast.
Yeah. So yeah, every Sunday from 6 to 7, I'm going to be shooting it live. And then the audio from it is going to get uploaded on Mondays.
And where's that getting uploaded at?
That's the part I'm figuring out. I'm going to
He's going to do it, but he just doesn't know where yet.
I'm probably going to have it on Spotify and Stitch. And, you know, I'm I've been doing the live stuff for a while now. I just haven't actually done a recorded podcast.
Do you have like an at Twitter handle that people can find your stuff at?
Well, everything you can find my stuff at is going to be at Comic Bill Stone.
Comic Bill Stone. It's important that you put the comic in there because Jesus Christ.
At Bill Stone, we're coming to the we're gonna burn a cross on this front
for the
lawn.
Live podcast. It's at the Comics Tavern.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome, man. Awesome. This was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's my show's gonna be on every Sunday from.
We're
6
gonna
to
have
7.
To have Bill Stone back on because I want to talk more about Chili's, Applebee's, Fridays, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell would be a fun one for us to cover.
Oh.
Go ahead, please.
I have Taco Bell stories.
Give us one.
Well, my first fast food job ever was Taco Bell.
How old were you?
I was 15.
How old are you now?
40.
Okay.
And I actually got food poisoning.
Oh, so they used to make enchiladas back then.
Well, I got food poisoning there.
Shocker.
Yeah, well, I had a manager who used to chew tobacco, and he'd work the back of the line, and he'd spit into the drain on the floor, just right there. So you know every now and then some of that had to have missed the floor and maybe landed on
it. Some of it, a good chunk of it.
But I also was brave enough to still eat there, and one night I had ordered a couple Mexi-Mels and I think a 10-pack of tacos. Back then when you could get a 10-pack for like $5, you know? And
I have a question for you after the story.
I got severe food poisoning and I was out of work for a couple of days. But then when I came back, the smell.
You didn't get workers' comp?
No. The smell of Taco Bell is so pungent that.
When you shit it out or before you eat it or both?
When you walk in the building, it's the meat. It's that meat smell. Yeah, yeah. As soon as I walked in my first day back from being sick, I walked in, I ran right to the bathroom and started vomiting.
Okay.
So I went next door to Burger King.
Like reflex thing, yeah.
And put in an application for over there. And that's where and that's the day I met my wife.
No shit.
Yes.
All right. I have a question for you. That's top three amazing. Taco Bell items, your favorites.
Are you talking current menu?
Top three favorite Taco Bell items. And Cher, I want you to answer too.
All right. Top three, first of all, would have to be the chalupa.
Great, great.
I love the texture and the taste of it and everything.
Yeah, the crunchy.
Uh-huh. Next for me has to be just a regular hard taco with sour cream.
That's on my list.
I love
I
love a good staple.
All right, good, and, good.
Lastly, I've recently started doing this because I found out they will do it without charging you extra because I hate refried beans. It's the $1 triple layer nacho.
Okay.
And I just have them substitute black beans for refried beans because I love black beans.
Okay.
And I just order a couple of those and it's $2. And
Bill Stone, not racist.
I get a ton of good nacho, cheesy, beanie, saucy flavor and it's only a few dollars.
All right. I like that. Sheer, top three favorite Taco Bell menu items.
Chalupa. Mexi Melt.
Well, which chalupa, you idiot?
Beef Chalupa Supreme.
Okay.
Mexi Melt.
Okay, Mexi Melt's good. Which, chicken or beef?
Beef.
Okay.
And I have recently fallen in love with the quesarito.
Okay.
Quesarito is really good.
All right.
It's fucking expensive.
Top three all time. I'm going to have to go. Number one is chili cheese burrito.
Oh, I love those too.
Love a chili cheese burrito. The cheesy gordita crunch, hands down, one of my favorites. And then, like you said, crunchy taco with sour cream. You can't beat a classic.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat a classic. So we're going to definitely have you back on so I can chastise you more for eating at garbage establishments.
Were you just... A big up Taco Bell, so you can go fuck yourself.
I contradict myself constantly on this podcast.
We're going to Waffle House after this.
Are you buying?
No. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates customer service as much as Bill Stone.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.